this place. God, I thank you for the peace I feel moving tonight. God, I honor you right now for your spirit and your presence. Oh, don't you dare think when you lift up the name of Jesus, it's ever in vain. Don't you ever think you coming here is a mistake or just something you had to do. I want you to know tonight, no matter what the numbers will tell you, no matter what the people's response will tell you, I want to tell you this tonight. When you choose to honor God, He'll choose to honor you. It doesn't matter what numbers are in front of you. What matters is that you put Him first above your feelings, put Him first above what you see other people do. And I'm telling you, He said He'd draw nigh to those that would draw nigh to Him. And I believe with all that's in me, when we stand up for the Father, He's stands up for us. I don't know if anybody in here tonight needs God to stand up for them in a mighty way, but if you're out there and you came with a purpose tonight, you ought to stand to your feet and take a stand for the Lord, because He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be lifted up. He's worthy to be magnified by this people standing together. I don't need a great big number. God just wants a great big agreement. Father God, right now we just come together in agreement under your anointing and spirit. God, and as you have quickening us, Lord, in this moment, God, we come together to thank you for what you're doing, to thank you for what you're going to do. God, we're here to lift you up and magnify you. God, we're here to put the enemy underneath our feet tonight, and we run him out of here in the name of Jesus. We call against the powers of darkness. We call against what would hinder, and we say, get out of this place in the name of Christ. Father, we believe together. Call unto Him, church, He hears you. Oh, call to Him, church, He hears you. Oh, if you're calling out for somebody, He said, speak their name, to speak to Him. Hallelujah. God, we call out for our children. God, we call out for our family. God, we call out for our health and well-being. God, we call out for the things that are leaving people in bondage. Lord, we believe that you are a delivering God. We believe that you're a God that hears us when we cry out to you. God, we believe that you hear your people when they call you. Hallelujah. When they call you, God, we believe that you hear. No, I believe tonight, God. Lord, I'm not deterred by what I see, Lord. For God, we are seeing the world as we want it, not the world as we have it. And Lord, we are not in the world or of it. We're a separate people. God, you've defined us to believe in more than what we're settling for. God, open our eyes to see the world that we desire. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for that peace. Oh, whoever was in here coming in trouble and needing peace, God said, receive peace tonight. Receive peace tonight. He said, don't worry about it. He's got it. He's got it. Look over at your neighbor and tell him, God's got this. You don't have to worry. You don't have to complain. You don't have to be unfaithful. Just believe, and God will move in your time of need. I don't know what I feel in my spirit, but I know that I'm on the winning side. I don't know where everybody else is, but I know that I'm in the number which lifts up the Lord God Jehovah. I don't know what people don't praise Him, but I'm here tonight giving Him praise. You're here tonight to lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God, I believe. Oh, Lord, I believe. Hallelujah, God, we believe tonight. Lord, oh, Lord, we lift you up and magnify you. God, we are stepping out of our comfort zone to praise you. God, we're stepping out of our comfort zone to pray for our needs. God, we're stepping out believing in that world that you promised us with prosperity. We're believing in that realm that you promised us with sound mind. God, we're stepping out into a realm where we claim our home, claim our finances, claim our children, claim deliverance. Oh, hallelujah. Chains broken. Hallelujah, blood bought and saved by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know what you came in with on your back, but God said it's going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we praise you. We praise you. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The scripture said, let us therefore enter into that rest. And this is all I have to give tonight. God wants you to learn how to lay down and rest. He wants you to put it in his hands and lay down with the peace of God. We cannot continue to be stressed out every day. We cannot continue to be unfaithful and doubt God. He's wanting you to be at such peace in your spirit that when you lay down at night, you can say, God, even if you take me home tomorrow, I know that my prayers are going to be answered. Lord, if I lose my house, I know you've got another home waiting on me. God, if I lose my money, I know that you've got the finance that I need. God, if I lose my family, I know you've got exactly who I need in my life and where you have them for me. There is a rest where you need to cleanse your mental stress. And God's saying, give it to him. You don't need all that stress in your life. You don't need all that fear in your life. You don't need all that worry in your life. God knows and is in control. Hey, of course, I didn't come to preach at you. I come to preach with you. Brother, lift up your head and know that God will be God. Know that he will move according to what you desire. And fear not for tomorrow, for he is in control of today. God's going to take care of you, brother. Do you believe that? Oh, hallelujah. If you believe it, he'll draw nigh to believe. Glory to God. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, don't be discouraged when you look around. Don't be down about it. God said, look to please him above all, and he's going to bless you. Look to please him above who you see, above what you see them do, and he'll bless your house. God, I believe tonight that you are with us. I believe tonight that you are moving for us. Somebody needs to declare that over the things they're praying for and mean it. You need to say tonight, I believe. You need to declare that tonight for what you're praying for. Somebody, let me hear you say, I believe. I believe, God, that you can do this. I believe, God, in who you've called me to be. I believe in the person that I can become. I believe in the home that I want. I believe in the kind of children that I want to see saved. I believe that salvation is not dead. I believe that healing still exists today. I don't know why we wait so long just to tell the devil, I still believe. Oh, I feel his presence in here tonight. Don't you dare doubt what you feel, and don't you walk away tonight saying, well, it wasn't good enough for me. I want to tell you that if you'll draw nigh to God, you could be in a cardboard box and He'll bless you. Oh, hallelujah. You could be on your deathbed and God will bless you. You can be driving down the road worried about the situation that's on your mind and God will still bless you. Sister Doris, don't you worry. This is just a season. God is going to bless this place. Hallelujah. I feel that all over me for you. Don't look at the number, but prepare yourself for the time is coming in due season. Oh, I praise you. Oh, let me read this part to you tonight. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear. Let us fear. Lest any of you seem to have come short of it. How can we retain the promises of God? By walking in the fear of God. We need to be in such a mentality that we would be afraid to live our life if we do not serve Him. We need to get back to the mentality where we'd be afraid of what tomorrow would bring if we didn't give Him all that we had. We have used grace the wrong way for so long that we're no longer a humble people. And we have abused the privilege of mercy for so long that people can get away without being in the house of God and still feel content. But I'm here to tell you, content in this world is temporary. There's going to come a time where we'll all face reality. And if you're going to get through reality, you're going to have to learn to rest in your trial. God wants you to not only rejoice, He wants you to be at peace. In the times that you need strength, God wants you to be blessed, highly favored, and with the ability to get back up with strength again. What do we do when we're tired? We sleep, right? We rest. But what do we do when we're in a trial? We try to keep going. We don't enter into this place where we hand to God our cares. And as time goes on, this stress builds up in people, creates angst in their heart, and they no longer have hope. And without hope, you'll not be proud of the God that you serve. We have an entire group of people that needs to be here, but you know what they've lost? It's not their church membership. You know what they've lost? It's not their ability to sing or to tithe. You know what they've lost? It's not their ability to pray or repent. Let me tell you what people are losing today. They're losing their hope because they don't have any hope. They never have the ability to rest. Let me tell you something tonight. How many of you are sure about your salvation? If you died tonight, would you know where you were going tomorrow? You are sure and you have hope in what you believe. Now let me ask that same question about another topic. How many of you believe that God's in control of your body and your health and your situation? How many of you know that God is greater than medicine? How many of you know that God is greater than disease? Hallelujah. God is in control of your trials, and we need to let God let us rest in the situation. We need to learn to take a deep breath and allow God to infiltrate our situation. Somebody take a deep breath with me tonight. Just let it out tonight. You can't fix it all. Just let that out. Let's just exhale a little bit. We can't change everything and make it right. Let's just exhale a little bit more. We can't make everything right overnight. We can't fix it all. We can't have everything our way all the time. And there's a world today that wants God to be the kind of God that will spoil them. But the God that I serve is the kind of God that spoils those who will serve Him righteously. This isn't a game. This isn't something to play with. And if you want to be blessed, if you want God to move, you got to fear Him. I want to give you this teaching before I sit down. If you are ever going to be at peace, you must learn to fear God. The beginning of wisdom is to fear Him. It's a life lesson. It's a decision. It's a choice. Do we trust Him enough to fear Him enough? I hope I get this out the way I'm feeling it. Do we trust God enough to fear Him in such a way that if we tried to do it our way, we would consider it a sin? Do we have enough faith in us to still believe and be afraid to deviate from our faith? I'll tell you, as a friend, as a human being, darker days are coming. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, whether you want to change the channel and ignore reality, darker days are coming. Now let me tell you something about me. I would not be here without the kind of people that when they prayed in fearing of God. They prayed with a sense of purpose. And I fear that the world that we're coming to, oh, I don't want to say it, the world that we're coming to is a world that won't be able to save who needs to be saved. We've lost our drive, our ability to come together. And day by day, one by one, the devil will take who he can. It only will work if we come in with a fear to serve him. To be honest with you, I'm afraid to disobey him. I'm afraid to come in and not do my part. Because I remember a life that I had before I had him. And I remember how hard it was to live without him. And I live in fear every day that I'll become the person that did not fear him. But the person that a person that does not fear God does not have God. And a person that will not believe in God will not receive God. And if you do not receive God, you shall not receive heaven. Hallelujah. And if you won't receive God, you'll surely receive a burning hell. And I, for one, don't want those that I care about to be lost to the flames. I love them too much to come in here and to play another church game. I've come too far in my life to go back to a life where I was unafraid of the wrath of God. Friends, it's a dangerous thing to possess the ability to move mountains and to stand there and let them stand in front of you. It's a dangerous thing to know to do good and to do it not. It's a dangerous thing to have a calling and to not do it, for the blood shall be on our hands. Listen, you've got to get to such a mentality that it no longer matters who's here, that it no longer matters how many showed up, that it no longer matters how much is in the treasury. You've got to get to the place where it no longer matters if people hear you praise God. You've got to learn to get to the place where you no longer care if anybody sees you enjoying your mountain. Why would you climb to the top of a mountain and not enjoy the view? Why would we walk so blessed of God and not come in and tell somebody that we're glad that He paid our bills? Why would we not come in and tell somebody, I'm glad that He healed my body? Why have we grown ashamed of being blessed and highly favored? Without serving Him in fear, we will not feel our spiritual responsibility. And without doing spiritual things, you shall not accomplish spiritual things. There was someone in the Bible that talked about wanting to be saved. And they knew the scripture. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. Yet was there not something else that needed to happen? You
see, there's a surrender that we as men and women have to give God. And you know what that is? To surrender to His authority. And to fear the wrath of His authority. You see, we live in a world where people are not afraid anymore. That's what I wanted to come to on this point. They're not afraid anymore. And the Scripture talked about this day that was approaching. They'd be buying and selling. They'd be celebrating. They'd be conducting business as usual in the time when the Son of Man would come for us. So I want you to identify that this is not something that is heading our way. We are in the midst of it today. And I don't want to paint a picture that sounds like I'm not believing that God will bless a church. But I want to remind you that before it's going to get better, it has to get worse. I fear that the day we live in, that we get so bold and unafraid of God's wrath that we have to fall flat on our back before we learn. But the beginning of wisdom, what will keep you from having to fall flat on your face, which happens to me a lot, is to fear failing Him more than to fear our sin. To understand this, my friend, you've got to look in here. You can't look at me. You can't look at anybody else. You can't blame your salvation. You can't blame your spiritual condition on anything outside of you, because what God put in you was enough. To serve Him, we must serve Him in fear. Now that doesn't mean that I'm telling you to walk around with your head down, paranoid of when something's coming. But what I'm telling you is that you'll walk in the fear of God, then you're walking in the certainty of His promise. You know what that means? When you walk in the certainty of His promise, you're believing in His authority. And therefore, what you used to be afraid of as your enemy, the Scripture said He would have your enemy to be at peace with you. Now think about that for a minute. If your enemy is at peace with you, then you're no longer afraid of your enemy. So let me ask you, do you think that people that don't have their hearts towards God will change in such a way that they'll be at peace with you? Or would you consider with me tonight that when your enemy is at peace with you, that you're no longer afraid of your enemy? You see, debt is always going to try and find you. Debt will not be at peace with you. Aging will not sit down and say, "I'll leave you alone today." It's always on the prowl, seeking for its victory of death over you. Therefore, death will have no peace with you. So how can your enemy be at peace with you unless you're no longer afraid of what you fear? So this is what God's teaching me. To enter into rest, I can no longer fear my enemy, but I must learn to fear Him. That's good stuff right there. I no longer walk in fear. Jesus tried to tell them, "Don't be afraid, for I'm with you." If we're going to walk in fear of God, we no longer have to walk each day waiting for the devil to attack us. Because if we walk in the fear of God, God fights our battles over our enemy. Then we are at peace with our enemy because we do not fear our enemy. Listen, if you've got family members sick with disease, I want to remind you that disease does not possess compassion. And in order for you to be able to be at peace with a tragic situation, you've got to learn to not be afraid of what will try to destroy you. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy everything about you. But God came that you would have life and it more abundantly. So how can we be at rest until we are at peace with what brings fear? If you're afraid of what's going to happen for someone and you're not praying about it, then your fear will drive you to be hopeless. It will cause you to doubt God. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. If you have no hope, you will doubt God. How can we be at rest? To be at rest, we must no longer be afraid of our enemy. And to no longer be afraid of our enemy, we must serve God with a godly fear. Lord, I'm afraid to come in and do anything less than what you've called me to do. When you come in with that kind of determination to sing when no one else will, to pray when no one else will, to praise when no one else will, to do what you have been called to do in spite of your enemy. He said those that would have dominion over a few things, that he would give you dominion over much. Think about that. If you can conquer your fears over what's right in front of you today, when bigger things come, you're not going to be afraid. You're not going to be a prisoner. You're going to be a ruler. That's the kind of authority God wants you to have. He doesn't want you to be driven by your fear, but he wants you to rule by your godly authority. And you possess godly authority, favor, and holiness by how you live in fear to God. Holiness is almost a forgotten thing. People do not strive with a life's ambition to be holy. Some of you might, I ain't judging you. But if you ask people what's most important to them, it's tangible things. The car I drive, the house I own, the subdivision I'm from, how much I have when I retire, how many children I have, the family that I have, how blessed my family is, what college they went to. People have this entire list of what defines their blessings. But every single one of those things on that list, when it comes time for you to draw your last breath, will contribute nothing to what is read about you on the great in judgment day. You will answer for not what you own. You will not answer for the clothes you wore. You will not answer for where you were from. You won't answer for your family lineage. You're going to answer for the kind of life you led while you were living. And the kind of life we're living, I fear, does not fear God. When we can sin and have no shame, we're not walking in the fear of God. And if you, with godly knowledge, know better and choose not to follow the patterns God has given you, to him that know it and do it not, it's no better than those that you call sinners. It is equal. It's a dangerous thing to know right and to do it not. It's a dangerous thing to be in a relationship with somebody and to try to have another relationship with somebody else because you know better. It's dangerous to proclaim that he is our everything, but in our life, we show him very little or as nothing. Now you can come every service, be in attendance, do all the right things that church members want you to do. But if we do not fear God in our actions, and how we love Him and how we praise Him, then when it comes time to have authority over our enemy, it cannot be granted. God cannot bless a tainted vessel. He cannot bless those who are unafraid of His wrath. The only thing He can deliver to people who walk in spite of God's will is His judgment. But let me tell you, you're not just going to have that book read when you get there. You're writing the pages today. Well, I'll answer for it later. It's not going to hurt anything now. Think about it. You'll get up tomorrow, you'll let it go on. Just as unhappy. We wait another week, we don't try to actively be spiritual, we get even more unhappy. Let me tell you something. You're not only going to answer for these lack of actions in your judgment, you're answering for them in the moment you're in. There are some people, I still see their faces. I'm going to just confess it. I still see their faces on nights I knew I should have preached. I still see their faces. There's been some people, they only got to church one or two times. They're gone now. Missed the chance. People say, oh, I hate that they didn't make it. Tomorrow comes, we're numb. I still see their faces. I've reached a place in my life where I'm going to fear Him above what people think about me. Yeah, that's right, I said it. I'm going to fear Him more than I fear you. More than your opinion, I'm going to fear God more than I fear people's judgments, stares, looks, laughs, and talks about me. I just don't have time to entertain what will not prosper me. God wants you to open your eyes to this tonight. When you will serve Him and fear Him, you're going to have the kind of power that your devil will no longer try to torment you. He will fear you. Think about when the demons were amongst Legion. And the power that was in that place did not cause them to try to fight back. In fact, they begged to not be destroyed. They feared the power and authority that was in front of them. But if you're never going to let go of your worry, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to walk up to your enemy and it will not fear you. It will drive you to fear. For a long time, I was scared about ever doing a ministry. I was scared about ever preaching. I was afraid. And my enemy, which was my own criticism, my enemy, which was my own fear, let me sat down for so long on the sideline, I almost missed what God had meant for me. But some things happened in my life that caused me to understand this. Without Him, I'm nothing. Without Him, I'll never amount to anything. That's a very humble statement, brother. Well, it's 110% true. You can look at what you own and think you're somebody, but if you don't fear God, it's nothing. Now, I know you're a human being and you've got a pulse tonight, but God wants you to have more than a pulse. He wants you to have some presence, some spirit, some authority. We can't just come in and have a pulse. We've got to come in and have power. Power. Without rest, there is no strength. And without strength, there is no power. God wants you to know this tonight. The next time you come in and wherever you go to church, you be reminded, you come in here and serve Him being afraid of the outcome, where if you didn't, what would happen? There was a message that the minister that I grew up on, it was one of his four favorite sermons he preached all the time, and it was titled, What If? And I heard that same sermon so many times, it stuck in my head the rest of my life. But obviously it was meant for me to be reminded, what if I lived in a world where I stopped serving Him? What if I lived in a world where I no longer cared what He thought about me? I'll tell you what, that kind of mentality, you're only one step from the cliff. You hear me? You're only one step from saying what you thought you'd never say. You're only one step away from falling to such a place that you could be out of church for weeks and months. We all sin and come short, and we are all tempted and tried. In spite of how long we've been a Christian, in spite of how much we know, in spite of how many people pray for us, we still are held accountable by the things we face. And this I feel all over me. I cannot shake this. Without fear, there is no wisdom. We'll never learn that our enemy is under our feet until we learn to fear God to possess authority. We'll never truly possess the power that God has called us to possess until we learn to serve Him no matter what else goes on in our life. Let me read one last part of this and I'll sit down. I don't want to keep you long. In that same chapter, if I can find it here, back to chapter 4, verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and to those whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. I want you to know tonight, if you'll fear him, your enemies will be at peace with you. Why? Because you'll no longer fear your enemy. If death comes, I'm going. If disease comes, I'm still covered. If persecution comes, he's still my God. No matter what happens, he's still my sovereign Savior, my everything. He shall be whom I fear. Why should we fear? The scriptures talk about. Is that talking about why should we fear God? No, it's talking about why would you fear the sting of death that no longer has hold on you? He said, don't worry about what you'd carry. Don't carry scrip or purse. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. He was wanting them to be so unafraid of tomorrow that they truly would learn what to be afraid of. You know what he was saying? Take yourself away from possessions. Take yourself away from what you think you need. And put yourself in such a need to God that he is all that you need. And that's the kind of relationship that when you speak things in faith, he said, he shall provide it. That if you believed it in your heart and desired it, that you shall have it. Does that come for those of us who walk unafraid of his wrath? I'm sad to say it does not. To those whom believe. And if you believe, you also believe in his wrath. And if you believe in his wrath, you know that those that suffered his wrath did not survive. And I lived long enough of facing judgments for my actions without God to know better, to go back to a life where I did not fear him. So I hope this is holding us accountable tonight. Me first above all, but to you also, to remember the sincerity and seriousness we need to take when we come in here. There's a lot of people that will come when it's more convenient on a Sunday, of course, but they need to see the kind of people that are coming in here without being afraid. The kind of people that are not afraid of their enemy have hope for God. And if you have hope for him, you'll have faith in him. I love you and appreciate you. I'm going to close right there, Sister Doris.